Trevor Lawrence's new contract. How about George Pickens moving around the formation in Pittsburgh? Also, we've got a pathway program player that is assigned to a notable wide receiver depth chart. That and more, this special news weekly installment on Under the Helmet. I'm Chad Parsons, and let's get started cleaning up the loose ends from the past few days. Trevor Lawrence, new contract in Jacksonville. 5 years, $275 million, $200 guaranteed, a massive deal at a position that gets massive contracts these days. It's wide receivers, but especially quarterbacks are getting those huge numbers. One of the bigger things is Trevor Lawrence worth it? A couple things that I would throw out is, while he's been improving, this is the John Beck theory, if you remember that from Washington former Redskins days. There, John Beck would always say, hey, I'm getting better every day. Well, at some point, you got to get good. You know, if you're good, at some point, you got to get great. And then great, someday you got to get elite. That's what getting better means. And so with Trevor Lawrence, he's one that obviously he had that horrible rookie season, but I would hearken back to one of my key indicators at the quarterback position, which is the touchdown and interception rate ratio. And putting that together, it's a real simple number that basically, if you're about 1.0, 1.1 for your career or for a season, you're around the NFL average. You're safe, so to speak. And once you start dipping below that line, things get scratchy, things get scary. And Trevor Lawrence is one that for his career, 0.84. Last season specifically, 0.79. So he's in the highly concerning zone, and yet not a lot of people consider him in the concerning zone. And for Trevor Lawrence, he's one on the fantasy front. A lot of concerns about him because 3 years now and his best year as the 101 pick, and this is typically you see better than this in the first 3 years, his peak is quarterback 12 in adjusted points per game. So obviously with Trevor Lawrence, have expected better. Even after that horrible first season with Urban Meyer, he's just been okay. He's actually in year two and year three, he replicates the finishes of Marcus Mariota. You know, he's been pretty similar to Tua Tagovailoa, just flip-flopped in terms of the past 2 years in terms of their fantasy finishes. I'm looking up other guys. Derek Carr was actually a little bit better in year two and year three in the NFL. So he's not in a robust zone. Until you have a top six finish, until you have two or three top 12 finishes, it's really tough to get on board with you fantasy-wise. I think Trevor Lawrence is one of the bigger floor guys where, let's be fair, ceiling matters, ceiling counts. And ceiling is what pays the bills and gives us positive dynasty ROI. But big deal for Trevor Lawrence, obviously in the pocketbook. I happen to think with the Jaguars, they had a pretty good situation around Trevor Lawrence. And with this big money, it will only be more difficult to truly build around Trevor Lawrence in the future. Moving on to George Pickens and talking about a guy moving around, spending plenty of time in the slot in minicamp here for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You figure Pickens and especially Pat Freiermuth, they're going to have to be anything and everything to this team. George Pickens had really ramped up in 2023, over 2 yards per route run. You love to see that. And he's been a guy that one of the key aspects is we rarely see a guy spend so much time on the perimeter and really be an elite option in terms of dictating coverage, in terms of getting a high usage rate. So I saw some things that George Pickens needs to prove to me. Because his slot rate, 13% in 2022, 17% in 2023. I would love to see that number above 25, 30%. And that's really what you see a lot of the top guys. Some of the top guys spend even more time in the slot, key third downs, motioning in there. And then the other key number, 19% target per route run last year. Those are the two numbers, more time in the slot and a higher target per route run. Again, this early report is, hey, the slot number should be going up. Now, how high? That's going to be the real mover. Obviously, a guy 18 yards per catch last year, that's going to recede. That's a high regressionary number historically. But the 19% target per route run has to juice up. Typically, the top guys you see 24, 25 plus percent. So that would be another huge graphic increase for Pickens in year three. Possible, but again, one that I'm skeptical of until I see it with these wide receivers. And Pickens still has something to prove for me. Out of New Orleans, Spencer Rattler getting some time as the QB2 as part of minicamp. And this is going to be a real QB2 battle. Looking forward to having a Saints beat writer and reporter here on in the coming weeks here on Under the Helmet, because the QB2 battle there, Spencer Rattler, obviously a big name, but he faded down in the NFL draft. He's going to compete with Jake Haener, both of them in that round four, round five sort of pedigree range, and both of them with some holes in their metric profiles as a prospect. So again, skeptical of both. I think both are a little overrated, if you will, but this is an important depth chart because Jameis Winston, not there anymore. Taysom Hill playing a bunch of different positions. So this is going to be one where is Taysom Hill going to be a guy that impinges if Derek Carr misses any time this year? And then Spencer Rattler is one that a lot of folks drafted in the later rounds. If he does not win this QB2 role out of the gate, that's going to be, relatively speaking, a wasted super flex rookie pick. So pretty concerning there for Spencer Rattler as he goes against Jake Haener, who was actually drafted 20-something picks higher than him just a year ago. Haener with a 59% passing score as a prospect coming out in my projection model. Spencer Rattler only 32%. And Spencer Rattler, while he does have a decent rushing score, a reminder that he ran a 4.9 6.40. So whatever you think you believe about him for rushing, again, a guy that runs almost 5.0, it's hard to be too excited about a guy like that in the ground game. A name you might hear bandied about and around the water coolers of your dynasty leagues is Praise Alatoke. He's an Ohio State sprinter who was signed by the Chargers as part of the International Pathway Program. He's 6'2", 205 pounds, and here's the key. Sprinter, as I already said, he 3.6 40 time, a 10.27 100 meter time at the Big Ten Championships. And his profile, though, so you're thinking speed burner. Also, what we do know is wide receiver. This is one where you got to have positional skills. This is a guy with limited in that capacity. Again, part of the pathway program, but huge athlete, obviously. Is this going to be someone that maybe has value in the return game? Someone that, again, he's just trying to make the roster. Let's be clear here. And you may see folks, oh, they're clamoring. I can't wait for him to be added to your, you know, my fantasy league or your dynasty hosting platform. But Alatoke, again, he's one that only a 30-inch vertical, some lagging change of direction drills, and again, not really much of a resume football-wise. So pretty concerning. I know a lot of people are going to gravitate towards, oh, Chargers, wide-open depth chart. I don't think it's quite that wide-open. We got Quentin Johnston, round one pick, Ladd McConkey, a top 45 pick from this last year. Coming in as a rookie, you've got Josh Palmer, you got DJ Chark. I mean, they've got enough, you know, to say that this isn't truly wide open. It's wide open for those guys, you know, competing against each other. But someone like Praise Alatoke is going to be one that is just more of a glimmer in our eye, so to speak. Please, please don't get really wrapped up and thinking you need to spend big, because as another reminder, we have limited information this time of year to make any big moves with your waiver dollars. In August, especially September, we will have a lot more information to make more informed decisions with our dynasty waiver dollars. Sad and concerning news here is Juwan Johnson. Foot surgery for the tight end there with the New Orleans Saints, and one that it seemed like a couple years ago he was rising almost like a phoenix, and one that we are going to have a lot of promise for at the tight end position. I called him baby Darren Waller at his worst, just because he was one that positional convert, had a lot of movement, and really flashed with some of his first notable playing time at the position. However, Juwan Johnson with a foot surgery, he's going to be questionable at best heading into the camp, heading into the season. I don't want to be looking too negatively at this, but foot surgeries and this time of year, it's pretty concerning and something that don't be surprised if it holds him back completely. That tight end depth chart, Taysom Hill. Now, the problem with Taysom Hill, a lot of sites have him as a quarterback designation. So that's going to be a frustration just in terms of you're starting him in a quarterback spot or a super flex spot that has minimal value. The other notable name I would mention on this depth chart is Foster Moreau. Moreau has teased us with a moment in time with the Raiders. It looked like he was going to be a budding possible starter slash star. It really hasn't turned out that way. But Foster Moreau is going to be that two PPR in tight end or that two tight end mandatory starting lineup possibility there for the Saints to benefit. Because, again, I think the pup list is firmly in play. I think Juwan Johnson having this being the beginning of what ends up being largely a lost season, could be in play here. So not to be the bearer of bad news, but we have to be prepared for this. And we should also remember that the wide receiver depth chart with the Saints, I already mentioned the QB2 spot, but wide receiver behind Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed has yet to really show a huge progression. He's shown flashes. Cedric Wilson, same sort of thing. He's always been a secondary guy, not really one to step up. There hasn't been overtly positive reports from A.T. Perry, who's flashed a little bit. That's who's competing for wide receiver two and wide receiver three. So tight end, you would think, has a plan, a possibility of being impactful here. However, with Juwan Johnson out, the depth chart does not look overly rosy. But again, Foster Moreau is that guy. If you want to take a chip in a chair and a chance in this passing game at the tight end position, he is your play for now. Out of the beat writer camp, we got the biggest surprise coming out of the New England Patriots as they're closing up shop before we get to training camp and some of the things later down the line. Kayshon Boutte, remember that name? Someone that had a lot of promise in the Devy landscape. He was one of the ones that was highlighted as having some of the best work at Patriots camp. So this is a depth chart that is relatively wide open. But again, this is one with a lot of veteran names. And one thing I have heard, though, is that we may see someone like Juju Smith-Schuster firmly on the bubble. And that would be interesting because they brought in Javon Baker. You figure Jalen Polk is going to make that team as well. Kendrick Bourne coming back from injury. Really, fingers crossed. I think Kendrick Bourne is the best bet there. DeMario Douglas, KJ Osborne is a legit wide receiver for the NFL. Tyquan Thornton might have a tough time. So you got Boutte, you've got Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyquan Thornton, Jalen Reagor, a lot of guys like that competing to basically make this team, as I think 3-4 spots are already accounted for, and it might be 5 if you include Javon Baker. But again, good for Kayshon Boutte giving himself a shot. I don't really think he's worth a dynasty roster spot. It's tough to have a spot for him. I'm thinking about some of my leagues that are 35, even 40 spots. A lot of times you get heavy quarterback premiums, heavy tight end premiums, and frankly, fitting in a completely ancillary wide receiver is a tough sell even in those formats. From New York Jets athletic reporter Zach Rosenblatt, he says there's a clear running back depth chart that he's observed from the early camp, which is Breece Hall running back 1. No news there. But news is, and we've had a drumbeat of consistently positive things from Braylon Allen. He considers Braylon Allen the clear running back 2 here. And not Israel Abanikanda, not Isaiah Davis, no one else on that depth chart. It is Braylon Allen. And he's been a bigger part in the passing game than expected. So really good stuff there from Rosenblatt. And again, good news for Braylon Allen. He was one that really stuck out in the UTH modeling as a guy that, hey, he's available in the later third round or even fourth round of rookie drafts. Scoop him up. I had him higher, a few ticks higher than that in the overall big board coming out of the NFL draft this year. Another note for the Jets is Xavier Gibson, that don't be surprised if he holds back all the juicy upside and positivity that people want to put onto Malachi Corley from the get-go. That Gibson could be a guy that plays as a wide receiver 2, but wide receiver 3, so somewhere in that rotation. Mike Williams is obviously the biggest variable involved with his health and durability, a massive question mark over the past few years. And frankly, during his whole career, Garrett Wilson's going to be the wide receiver 1 there. But Gibson versus Corley, and right now it seems like advantage Gibson, who is a surprising player despite minimal pedigree. Corley has a lot more pedigree. But again, this is, you got to get over some of these veteran humps if you're a rookie, and especially a rookie that's not a first round pick. You might have to wait your time. And for Corley, a lot of people were jumping onto him in the late second or even early third round of rookie drafts. I thought it was a bit too rich for just yet another day 2 wide receiver personally, and especially one where he doesn't have outs to be the wide receiver 1 on this team, period, ever. Like, I don't even know when that would occur. And so now we're seeing even question wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3. A lot of people forget about Mike Williams. And this is a reminder, don't forget about Xavier Gibson as well. And finally, coming out of the Rams camp, injury away guy to Tyler Higbee. Higbee is coming off a serious injury in 2023. So that's going to be a big variable for the soon-to-be or now 30-year-old Tyler Higbee. Classic tight end screen guy is what I'll always remember for him there in the Rams system. But Sean McVay, with his comments, talking up Colby Parkinson, a 6'7 guy that could be rangy, a mismatch And Kobe Parkinson was a guy that basically was one of those that drew the ire from Dynasty and Fantasy fans of Noah Fant there in Seattle, where they kept running a three and two and three man committee there at tight end. They were always given, you know, three guys 30%+ of snaps. And Noah Fant, man, he really took the brunt of it, of not, you know, breaking out and having the season we all think that he still could have. And Kobe Parkinson now going to the Rams could see a golden opportunity if Higbee is slow off of the jump. And it should be expected that he would be slow off of the jump coming off of injury. So Kobe Parkinson is one of those names to monitor. Maybe not a guy with top 10 upside, but a guy in two tight end or premium scoring that could get off to a good start this season. There you go. Some of the big news thoughts for the week. It's a light time of year, but you wouldn't know with some of these news and notes and things, again, to keep track of in your dynasty leagues, as always. And a good chance to give a shout out to all of the great reporters doing yeoman's work there coming out of camps and for these NFL teams. I try to get as many budding relationships with them as possible to have them on the show, give us the intel with their boots on the ground with these teams. And it's going to be really important as we get to July and August for some of these news items as they continue to build momentum or perhaps break momentum that we have had going through the early summer months. I'm Chad Parsons. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, if you want more Dynasty content, you want the premium shows. I hit almost 500 shows a year ago. Go to uthdynasty.com. Just updated a bunch of the Dynasty rankings. You got a trade calculator and all those bonus shows and content, some Devy stuff, everything you need to have your best season yet. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those Dynasties.